There are plenty of companies that are, you know, very high quality companies that I think are in a really tough space that, you know, in a normal market might get funded, but in this one might not.
I think that we're in an incredibly difficult funding environment. The investors are much more cautious about what they're investing in. They're not flinging money around.
I'm Scott McGrew. Welcome to Sand Hill Road.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What does Farther do?
We build wealth management software. So
Taylor Matthews is CEO of the wealth management fintech Farther, which just landed a $31 million Series B.
We started thinking about our Series B right after landing the Series A, right? We kind of went to market with a set of milestones that we wanted to hit, both product milestones and, you know, kind of economic milestones. I think, like, you know, revenue and that sort of thing. And then here we are. Overall, it's a pretty smooth process, kind of surprisingly so.
And tell people why, who are not familiar with the industry or the situation in venture capital, why would it be surprisingly so?
Well, the zeitgeist around the raising venture capital right now is that it's a terrible funding market. It's scary. There are plenty of companies that are, you know, very high quality companies that I think are in a really tough space that, you know, in a normal market might get funded, but in this one might not. So we approached the market with that in mind and really wanted to, you know, try to be as buttoned up as we possibly could be. We were lucky to be to have done as well as we had over the previous year to support the story that we were trying to tell and ultimately raise the round that we wanted to raise.
New data from Crunchbase's latest Q3 report shows these sort of follow-on investments are harder to come by.
I love data.
That's Janae Teer, Crunchbase senior data editor. Her report, issued late last week, shows global venture funding in the third quarter fell once again, despite some very big late-stage investments in AI.
And I think what was interesting about the most recent quarter is, you know, funding is down broadly, more than 50% from the peak. But what was interesting is that, and we've seen late-stage funding come down the most, and everyone at the time said, if late stage funding comes, you know, late stage funding, we're not going to invest at late stage. Those values are too high. Companies are not going to go public at the same rate. So we're going to invest earlier at early and seed. But in fact, what happened and we saw in the data is after Q2, when late stage came down, Q3, late stage and early stage came down. And then Q4 2022, all three stages came down. And so even though investors were saying we're going to invest earlier, in fact, what we saw in the data is that investors were much more cautious. And then jumping through to Q3, I think what was interesting in this last quarter is actually late stage was up. That's relative to it being down, but there were some very big rounds in some very important sectors across the globe, which sort of made that late stage funding push up a little bit quarter over quarter and year over year.
Most of that funding was in AI, right?
Correct. So there was some very Anthropic raised a very, very large round from Amazon. They raised $1.3 billion from Amazon. And you can see the AI wars are sort of heating up with Amazon backing Anthropic. And they've committed up to $4 billion, so more money to come into Anthropic from Amazon. We also saw Databricks, a cloud company, raise $500 million. And what was interesting about that round is it was at an up valuation of 2021. They were valued at $38 billion. It's now $43 billion. Most companies are not raising at increased valuations from 2021. So, and it was T. Rowe Price. So that tells you Databricks might be planning to go out possibly next year sometime, and that the company is doing incredibly well on its business fundamentals, because you're not going to get an up round in this market unless you were doing so.
And go out, you mean an IPO. We had two real big IPOs this past quarter, Arm and Instacart. Neither one really took off very far.
Yeah. It was interesting as I watched those two, and also Klaviyo, I think, is also an important company to look at that went public in September. And I think what was interesting is that there seemed to be a lot of investor interest. These companies were not selling high proportions in the IPO. There was a lot of kind of key investors who said they were going to come in and invest at the IPO price. And there was a little uptick for most of these stocks that first IPO day. And since then, they've slid down a little bit. And I think as I watched it, what was interesting is even though there seemed to be a lot of investor interest going in, the companies didn't go above the range. They kind of did it at the higher range, but they didn't price above that range, because I think there is huge price sensitivity in this market. And even despite that, they're, you know, I think all three stocks are down from their listing price. But
A CEO would say, hey, listen, if the price doesn't move the first day of public trading, it means I nailed the price, and we maximize the amount of money that we're going to get out of this.
Yeah. But I think, you know, I talked to an analyst as these, the sort of IPO market, as these three were coming out, and he worked on the Facebook IPO in 2012. And the interesting thing that he said is Facebook priced above its range. And then after that, for almost 9 months, the stock came down quite a bit from that IPO price. And because it was such a big IPO, because everyone was looking at that IPO, it kind of depressed the IPO markets for 9 months after that. And so I think coming into, you know, these IPOs in September, I think the companies and the investors were far more cautious, because they're not only looking at these three companies. There's a whole slew of companies that are in the pipeline that are preparing to go out, and they don't want a sort of downtrend from these three if these three don't do well. So it'll be interesting to see what does happen. Because I would say they've done okay. They are down from their IPO price, but it's not massively down in comparison to what we've seen with some of the 2021 listings.
Do you suppose if companies are having trouble getting further funding in a softening VC market, that might be a choice? That's a way to raise money.
Yes, I think that we're in an incredibly difficult funding environment. I think companies that are able to raise are companies who are growing significantly. And we expect to see companies at each asset class close down in this market. So coming into the end of 2023 and into 2024, I think companies raised in 2021, in the early part of 2022, seed and early was still incredibly strong. And I think those companies are going to be coming back into the market. You know, they've cut costs, they've extended runways, but they're going to be coming back into the market and facing the fact that there are companies, the investors are much more cautious about what they're investing in. They're not flinging money around. And so I think a lot of those companies are either going to face closure, or possibly we're going to see an uptick in M&A just because prices are down. There are companies who are doing incredibly well, who have raised large amounts of money and still have that on their balance books. And so I think the M&A market is going to increase in 2024 just because of these, both on the buy side and the sell side.
The money in venture seems to still exist. They're just not investing it. They painfully, in my mind, call that dry powder. They could just simply call it money. But the money's still there.
The money is there, but interestingly enough, the LPs, the people who invest in venture firms, are looking for liquidity, and they haven't had that for more than 18 months. Obviously, 2021 was a very strong year. But if you look at our data, double the amount of money went into this private companies, this asset class in 2021. And at the end of 2021, it shut down. So all that money came in. But in the last 18 months, we've seen very little money come out. And so those LPs are looking for liquidity. And I think venture investors are aware is that calling that money from their LPs or taking that money from their LPs, there's not a lot of receptiveness to do that at this point because everyone's a little tight. And so that's also pushing them to be much more cautious. If they are going to invest, they've got to see a lot of upside in the companies they're investing in. So, you know, the LP equation has also impacted the investors, not just the what the companies are looking like.
And as you look over the Q3 numbers and your report, what big picture does it tell you about what's happening now and what may happen in the future?
Yeah, I think big picture, what it's showing to us is seed funding came down this past quarter. Early stage funding came down the most, actually, year over year this past quarter. And what it tells me is that the market is still, we're still going through the downturn, despite the fact that there were this beginning to ease up of the public markets and this potential for some liquidity coming into the investors in this last quarter and into 2024. Nonetheless, investors are still incredibly cautious. And when you see seed and early pickup, that gives you a sense that there is a bit more optimism in the market. The fact that that was down in Q3 tells you that the market is still digesting what has happened over the last 18 months.
Janae Tier, Crunchbase Senior Data Editor. The latest data show global funding reached $221 billion in the first three quarters of 2023, down 42% year over year. As for Farther and CEO Taylor Matthews,
what we're really just focused on is what we can control. And that's, you know, that's the processes that we're putting in place, the business that we're trying to build, the success that we're trying to drive for each individual who joins the company and of course, their clients. And if they're happy and if we can, you know, help guide them and protect them from, you know, whatever the economic world throws at them, then we'll be successful.
Next week on Sand Hill Road.
The thing is, you guys have taken a lot of our words.
Entrepreneur.
Entrepreneurs, Frank, to start with. And so I'm actually wondering, I think you took a lot of the good words.
Mael Gavay, CEO of Techstars, the biggest seed investor in the world. Sand Hill Road is produced by Sean Myers under the leadership of Sarah Bueno and Stephanie Adruni. For more interviews with Silicon Valley's most influential entrepreneurs, check me out on TV at Press Here. That's Sunday mornings on NBC Bay Area and everywhere in the world on iTunes and at PressHereTV.com.